Okay, let's talk a little bit about mikvaos. We're going to review a little bit of what we saw in Elzman because I want to sort of pick up a particular place and make sure we're clear in terms of what we saw. We learned that a mikvah is very important and that a mikvah can be used for a variety of different things in the world of halacha. That sometimes people are tameh and they can go to a mikvah that allows them to become tahor. We learned that a ger who wants to convert has to go into a mikvah. We learned there's a din of tevilas kalim. When you buy a new vessel, it's going to be used for food and the like. You have to be tovel that in the mikvah. And mikvah becomes something which the mikvah itself is incredibly important in the world of halacha. And it's relevant to halacha lemaisa for sure. We spoke one time about the unique experience of going to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur and what that may really be about. But we're focusing in many ways about the cheftza shel mikvah, the mikvah itself. And we saw that the pasuk in Parshas Shmini tells us that in fact there is a mikvah and there is a ma'ayan. There are two different bodies of water that you can use for more or less the same purpose. Mikvah and a ma'ayan. Mikvah, what's the difference between a mikvah and a ma'ayan? So there are two main differences. Now a ma'ayan is a spring, and a mikvah is water in a particular set location. It's not a spring. What are the two main differences? So one difference we spoke about in Elzman, which is the sheer of it. How big does it have to be? A mikveh has to be memsa, whatever it is, has to have memsa of water in it. A ma'ayan pashtus only requires a kol shehu. Even if the ma'ayan is very, very small, there's very little water, that's still considered to be okay. So the Arizal's mikveh, which is technically a ma'ayan, even if it doesn't have arba'im sa, even if it doesn't have as much water, it's still going to be kosher. The second major chiluk that we'll speak about probably next week for a while, between a mikvah and a ma'ayan, has to do with the water itself. In a mikvah, the water has to be static. It can't be like running from place to place. It has to be more or less static water. Now, when a guy's tovel in the mikvah and the water moves a little bit, that's not a problem. As opposed to a ma'ayan, where the water has to be flowing, or at least l'chora has to be flowing, we'll learn more about those details at different times. That's a mikvah, and that's a ma'ayan. Mikvah and a ma'ayan. There is something, when we speak about the cheftzas, we're going to speak not only about mikvah, not only about ma'ayans, but there are certain kinds of ma'ayans that have something else, an additional level called mayim chayim. Mayim chayim. It's water in the ma'ayan that is mayim chayim. What is mayim chayim? What exactly does that mean? So the Torah's Kohanim in Parsh Mitzorah tells us what it means. As an example, the water can't be salty water. Has to be regular water. And most importantly, the Mishnah Meseches Parah tells us, Parak Ches, Mishnah Tes, that in a Ma'ayan, the water, to be Mayim Chayim, it's not enough to be a Ma'ayan and to be flowing. It has to basically never stop flowing. Even within a 7-year time period, it never stops flowing. The Ma'ayan water is always flowing. If it stops once in a Yovel, that wouldn't be a problem. But essentially, we have is a mikvah, okay? A ma'ayan, a spring, and some have a little bit more. That's the ma'ayan, but it's ma'im chayim. It's water which is always, always, always going. It's ma'im chayim. It's not meluchim. It's not salt water. It's regular water. The regular sweetness of water, that's ma'im chayim. When do you require ma'im chayim? It's all just the hakdama. When do you require ma'im chayim? So there are three places in Chumash where we're told to accomplish something. Normally, a person's tummy, they can go to a mikvah or they can go to a ma'ayan. They don't. There's no need for either one's okay. However, there are three contexts where we require mayim chayim, a ma'ayan which is always flowing. You require a little bit more. What are the three contexts? So one is a zav. A zav, the Torah tells in Vayikra on Perek Tesvav, a zav is someone who has an emission from his aver. However, it's the difference between a zav and a balkeri. They both are similar, but a zav is more of a different consistency in terms of what comes out of his body, and it's a little bit more of a sickness potentially, I think, when it comes to a zav. So a zav is a person who becomes tameh when something leaves his body, leaves his aver, but not a regular keri, but rather a certain kind of other consistency thing that comes. That becomes a zav, becomes tameh. When the zav wants to become tahor, he has to be tovel himself in a ma'ayan with ma'im chayim. That's great, thank you. With the ma'ayan of ma'im chayim. Thank you, Shai. The other two contexts are when you prepare the ashes of para aduma to purify someone who is Tamei Meis, the Torah also tells in Parshas Chukas, you have to use water. That water has to come from Mayim Chayim. Has to come from water, which is always going to be flowing. Water, which is going to have a certain kind of properties to it. And the third is when a Metzora, a person who has Tzara'as, when that person is going to be purifying himself. So we do a whole lot with Tzipore Metzora, but a few years ago. That purification process also requires Mayim Chayim. That's all our Hakdama. Let me just take a step back and chaz what we saw thus far. The Torah tells us, look in Chumash, there are three kinds of almost bodies of water. Mikvah, Ma'ayan, and sometimes an additional level of Ma'ayan with a Mayim Chayim. With a Mayim Chayim. And we saw that ordinarily to become Tahor, it's enough just to go to a Mikvah or a Ma'ayan. But a Zav has to go to a Ma'ayan that is has Mayim Chayim. And a for Afar, for Paraduma, the ashes of Paraduma, you also require Mayim Chayim. And for the Mitzora process, when we purify you with birds and the like, we dip something, has to have Mayim Chayim. Has to have Mayim Chayim. We're going to speak about two things. General clarity this far? One, two, and we're going to speak about two things. One, does anyone else also require, so it's part of the background, for the Cheftas, what are the different bodies of water? Does anyone else also require tevila in a ma'ayan with mayim chayim? Anyone else besides Zav that requires mayim chayim? Anyone besides Zav? That'd be the first conversation. The second one's going to be, when you're tovel in a ma'ayan and a ma'ayan with mayim chayim, how are you tovel? So let's go through both issues. So anyone else? Anyone else? So there is a machlokas harishonim, machlokas geonim and rishonim. Whether anyone else also has to be tovel in Mayim Chayim is, in particular, the case of a zava. Of a zava. What's a zava? So, have you got this over here? A zava is like this. Women bleed from osomakom. Zava is the same blood that comes out of a woman. Sometimes it makes her a nida. Sometimes it makes her a zava. Either way, she becomes tameh. But there are different halachas, if she's a nida or if she's a zava. When's a person a nida as opposed to a zava? So there's a machlokas harishonim about this. The mainstream view is that whenever a woman sees blood, she sees women have their period once a month, assuming everything is more or less standard. So if she sees, if she bleeds at the time when it's normal to see blood, that makes her a nida. If she sees at the time that's abnormal for her to be seeing blood, that would make her into a zava. That would make her into a zava. In Chumash, it's not so clear what does a zava need to become tahora. There's a woman who bled at not the expected time of her period, and now a woman is tamei. Does she also? She has to go to a mikvah. Does she have to go to a ma'ayan with mayim chayim or not? Does she have to go to a ma'ayan with mayim chayim or not? That's the question. That's the question. Rashi, in several places in Shas, Shabbos Samechei, Sanhedrin Pei Zayin, Bechoros Nunhei, Rashi relates this question, and he quotes tshuvas of Geonim. Sefer Shari Tshuva, Simekuf Samech Dal, tshuvas of the Geonim, that there were Geonim who held that not only a Zav, but also a Zava has to go into a Ma'ayam with Mayim Chayim. Also requires Mayim Chayim, a Zava. Rashi doesn't hold that way, Pashtas, and most Rishonim don't hold that way. Only a Zav, and not a Zava, only a guy who sees this kind of off emission, he requires Mayim Chayim, that's explicit in Chumash, but a Zava require Mayim Chayim. A Zava does not require Mayim Chayim. How are we so far? One, two, and... Okay. The Ramban al HaTorah, there in Vayikra, the Ramban says, I think the pshat of the psukim is that a zava also requires mayim chayim, but lemaisa chazal darshin that any mikvah or ma'ayan is fine for a zava. That any mikvah or ma'ayan is fine for a zava. That happens to be have enormous nafkaminas. Why? Says the Ramban, even though the pshuto shel mikra is a zava requires a ma'ayan with mayim chayim, Chazal darshin that anything is okay for Zava to go in. Why does it matter so much? So one, for the following reason. All women who bleed nowadays, the Gemara Tachnida, treat themselves like Suffolk Zavas. it's hard to know for sure, you know, when it's regular time. Not all women fit into regular zava. So is it okay for a woman to go into a regular mikvah? So we assume yes. But if you held that any zava requires mayim chayim, and all women that bleed nowadays we treat as suffix zavos, maybe they'd also have to go into a mikvah with mayim chayim. Maybe. Maybe. Shitas, Rashi, Ramban, most Rishonim, no need for mayim chayim by zava. The Gaonim, Rashi quotes, Kopis and Shas, they hold you do require mayim chayim by zava. What's that machlokas based on? So there is an interesting Tosefta. Many of us know the Ein Beins in Maseches Megillah. In the end of the first parak of Maseches Megillah, not really the end, in the middle of the first parak of Maseches Megillah, we have all these Ein Bein Shabbos Tiyanta, and Ein Bein, and all those things. The Tosefta also has Ein Beins. And the Tosefta has an Ein Bein, which is not in the Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Tosefta says, Mefurash, so note the Rishonim, Ein Bein, Zav, Lizava, Ella, that a Zav requires Mayim Chayim, a Zava doesn't require Mayim Chayim. So ask the Achronim, what's Pshat in the Gaonim? Rashi quoted the Gaonim that even a Zava requires Mayim Chayim, but the Tosefta is Mefurash, that a Zava does not require Mayim Chayim. What Pshat, what Tosefta says, Zava does not require Mayim Chayim, the Gaonim hold that you do. What's Pshat with the Tosefta? 1, 2, and 3. I'm not in a good place. I didn't know if you are. Okay. Two answers. Answer number one, the Aruch Lener in Maseches Nida, the Aruch Lener says, well, the Tosefta says the difference between a Zav and a Zava is that a Zav requires Mayim Chayim and a Zava doesn't. But that's not what you find in the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah doesn't quote that Tosefta. The Gemara in Megillah doesn't say that's the difference between Zava and Zava, and therefore the Gaonim learned that we don't paskin like that Tosefta. The Gaonim learned that we don't hold like that Tosefta. Okay. The Bach in Yoredeya and the Tshuva, the Chasam Sofer, a very important Chiddush, they say as follows. Mida Oraisa, only a Zav has to go into a Zav, the guy who has an emission that's off from regular carry. Only he, to be Matar himself, has to go into a mikvah with Mayim Chayim, only him. Mida Oraisa. And a Tosefta speaking on a Doraisa level. So the saying on a Torah level, Zav and Zav are different. Zav requires Mayim Chayim, Zav does not require Mayim Chayim. However, says the Bach, the Gaonim mean Midi Rabbanan. The Gaonim mean that Midi Rabbanan, there's an inyan for the Zava to go into only Mayim Chayim. We'll share a nice tikkul Torah. It's a good one to know. There is a... why would there be? So we have three shitas. The pashtas of the Gaonim, a Zava has to go into Mayim Chayim, Mida Oraisa. The pash of the Rashi, Ramban, Tosefta, and others, Zava has no requirement to go into Mayim Chayim at all. The Bach and the Chasam Sofer, a Zava has to go Mida Rabban into Mayim Chayim. What's that machlokas based on? So we'll note a couple of things very, very briefly. It's good to know in Taros. It's good to know. One is a general question. Zav goes into Mayim Chayim. Zava. There is a question in general, how similar are Zav and Zava really? They have similar names. That like gives away a connection, Lichora. But Zava, remember, it's a woman, sees blood the same way Anita sees blood. It's at a different time. Zav is more, are they similar or not? How much do we import halachas from one to the other? So the Gaonim hold, Zav and Zav are really very similar. Just like Zav requires Mayim Chayim, so too Zav requires Mayim Chayim. And the other reason we hold, no, Zav and Zav, they're really different. Zav has its own halachas. Zav has its own halachas. You can't compare them. What's pshat that the Chatam Sofer in the Bach, that Midi Rabbanan, a Zav requires Mayim Chayim? What's pshat that midrabban the zavah requires mayim chayim? So I saw a beautiful Torah. It's not the Rebbe called Rebbe before. I think we're not going to get up to when I was Rebbe before. I mean, Maybrook is a was a Rebbe in YU for a long time. That was from Apachemesh, very important Talmud Chacham, wrote an article where he pointed out someone noted to him an amazing ha'ara. To sefer called, I don't know how you find this, Mikrai Kodesh, meaning to connect, it's impressive. The sefer is a well-known sefer. With Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rebbe Yushalayim, Tzvi Pesach Frank wrote Tshuva's Heart Tzvi, a very famous Talmud Chacham of Sachs's great-grandfather, great grandfather. So the Mikurai Kodesh is a Tzvi Pesach Frank on the Moedim. In the second volume on Pesach, Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes a Torah he heard. Who did he hear the Torah from? From Rav Yerucham Fischer Fischel Perlau. Who's Rav Yerucham Fischel Perlau? The author of the Sefer HaMitzvot of Rav Sadia Gaon. There's a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rav Sadia Gaon, a very three fat volumes, a very famous Sefer. Rav Yerucham Fischer Perlau wrote a commentary on it. And Tzvi Pesach Frank says, I heard a Torah from Rav Yerucham Fischer Perlau, which is a very, very beautiful, I think, good explanation of what's going on. It's a good Torah to know when you learn Shnayim Mikra. It says like this. I understand why you would hold that only a Zav requires Mayim Chayim. But it says in Chumash, I could maybe understand, I'm filling the background, why you would hold that Mida Oraisa, a Zava would require Mayim Chayim, because I learned Zava to Zav, it makes sense I could hear that. But why would there be an Inyan Midrabanan? Why would there be an Inyan Midrabanan to have a... why would there be an Inyan Midrabanan to have a Zava go into a Mayim Chayim? Because the following Shtikl Torah, it's a very, very beautiful one. It's two steps, so please pay attention closely. So like this. He brings a parallel from a Sugya Ritva Nivamos. Engage in chalitza. You have a woman whose husband died. They have no children. He had a brother. She becomes a shomeres yavam. The guy's dead. The brother of the dead husband and the woman are now locked together. Shomeres yavam. They have to either do yibam, he'll have bia with her and they will be married, or they will do chalitza, which is similar to gerushin. It's similar to gerushin. They're getting a divorce, okay? It's like they're separating themselves. When you do chalitza, it's a particular process. It involves spitting. It involves certain things you say. And you require a na'al. You require a certain kind of shoe. Says the Ritva, you know, b'di'eved, you could use a shoe that does not belong to you. But l'charchila, you should use a shoe that does belong to you. Why l'charchila should you use a shoe that belongs to you? So says the Ritva, because the Pshuto Shel Mikra sounds like you should use a shoe that belongs to you. And says Ritva the following. Whenever in Pshuto Shel Mikra, it sounds like you should do something one way, and Chazal say, but you could also do it other ways, Midrabanan L'chadchila sometimes, better to do it the way it's described in Pshuto Shel Mikra. So since in Pshuto Shel Mikra it sounds like you should own the leather shoe, so we said, better to own it. It's still kosher without, but better to own it. Midrabanan, maybe better to own it. Says Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlau, I think that's what's happening for the Bach and the Chasam Sofer when it comes to a Zava and Mayim Chaim also. There is no Min HaTorah requirement for a Zava to go into Mayim Chaim. None at all. However, the Ramban wrote in his Perush Al Torah, that if I only had Pshuto Shel Mikra, if I only had Pshat, I would have thought a Zava needs Mayim Chayim. I would have thought a Zava needs Mayim Chayim. Therefore, says the Bach and said Chasam Sofer, even though Chazal learned that a Zava Min HaTorah can go into Mayim Chayim, and that a Zava can go into a Mikvah or a Mayan, since the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that a Zava should go into a Ma'ayan, so Midrabanan, we are Machmir. How come? Because we always want to do things the way it's described in Pshuto Shel Mikra. Even though Chazal learned it's okay in multiple ways, it's always better to do it according to the Pshat and Chumash. And therefore, since in the Pshat and Chumash, Zava requires Mayim Chayim, so too, Midrabanan, you should go in, Mishum, following the Pshuto Shel Mikra. What we have is as follows. Let's chazer what we said. I don't know if we're going to do that. We're going to chazer. I don't know if we're going to do the third step because I may go nuts in my own head at this point. But let's chazer what we saw. Things to be very, very clear. And then we'll try to just like add maybe one point. We're going to be speaking a lot about the construction of a mikvah. But there are different kinds of bodies of water. Mikvah, ma'ayan, have different halachas. And some ma'ayans have mayim chayim. And certain areas of halacha, you need a water spring which is always, always, always flowing. Even in 7 years, it's always flowing. And one of the people is a zav. That when a zav goes in to mayim chayim, so that's only he becomes tahor that way. But if you're a guy and you don't see, you have an emission, and it's not a balkeri, but it's more of a zav, and you go into a mikvah, you won't become tahor. Balkeri, you'll become tahor. But zav, no, you're not going to become tahor at all. You're not going to become tahor at all. And the machlokas we saw was, what about a zava? The zava also require this kind of mayim chayim or not. This kind of mayim chayim. And we saw a machlokas. The Gaonim think yes, maybe even mida oraisa. The Bach and Chasam Sofer say yes, but only mida rabbanan. Mida oraisa not required. And the mainstream view, even mida rabbanan, mida oraisa, there's no requirement at all for a zava to go in, to go into mayim chayim. We have to explain what may be the rationale behind what's the difference between zava and zava. Questions like that. What we're going to be doing starting next week is speaking much more about the mikvah itself. This is the exceptions. The ma'ayan with the mayim chayim is a unique kind of a case. Next week we start speaking about the flowing water of Zochan and Shmorin. We'll speak much more next week about the general sort of construction and structure of a mikvah, but part of our sort of like introduction, I know it's like the fourth or fifth beginning of Chorazman, but we don't meet that often. So part of that, we'll, Be'ez Hashem, continue speaking more about the structure of the mikvah, but it's important to pay attention to. These things are really, a lot of the stuff that we're saying tonight is really just Chumash Rashi. A lot of it's Chumash Rashi. What requires Mayim Chayim, it's really in Chumash. Zav and Azava and those different halachas, a lot of this stuff is really in Chumash. Some of the questions about, if you're like me, some of the stuff about does Azava require Mayim Chayim, so if I learn Masechah Shabbos, I learn Masechah Sanhedrin, and maybe I come across that Rashi, so I would sort of read it over pretty quickly and maybe move on a little bit. And it's good to be able to take a step back and realize the importance. Some of these Rashis are really there in Shas in a couple of places, and it's really some very, very important Torah. We'll learn at the end an important Torah, not only the value of Chumash Rashi, but Pshuto Shel Mikra may have a certain status in the world of Halacha. And one of the things it may have in the world of Halacha is that even though Chazal have Darshan things and include other things that may also work, there may always be a certain Adifas, there may always be a certain desire to do things Lafi, Pshuto, Shel, Mikra. Have a wonderful night.